Father Chaz asked me a couple of years ago to cover for a sabbatical. And I said, I can't imagine not being able to do that. It'll be interesting to see what time of the year it ends up being taken. And as you well know, it's the Easter season upcoming. I will be working with Father Brian for the months of April, May, and June. And to me, I don't know if it could have come at a better time than Easter. And part of that is because I connect with so many of you, and I connect not only in terms of our own personal relationship, but I know your loved ones. They're on the other side of life. I know what you look like when you were wearing younger people's clothes. I know the grandparents of you who are grandparents. It was actually almost 30 years ago, August 1st of 1988, that I laid my head in a pillow at a St. John's rectory for the first time. Father Frank Murray was assigned as my mentor. Father Terry Dumas was just ordained himself, so he was going to go through his first year of experience, his rookie year as a priest. I was considered the intern in the parish. And I had the great fortune of being ordained a deacon right here in this church on October 15th of 88. Had a wonderful reception next door in the just completed parish center. And for me, when I look back and I think of people who, after I became pastor, would say to me, oh, I wish you had gotten to know my husband. And I would say, I did. Remember, you had me over to supper when I was an intern. And so I can feel the entirety of the 30 years. And I can identify so strongly with the experience that we all have of aging, dealing with the illnesses that come upon us, certainly dealing with the grief that comes upon us with the loss of loved ones. And through cycle after cycle, we've gone through the Easter message together. I know I said it often when I was pastor, but it bears repeating. St. Paul makes the point so strongly. Without Easter, we have no faith. There's no reason that I can think of to follow a crucified man if he did not rise. So at the heart of who we are, at the heart of what we bond together and share, is that great confidence that there's a life when our earthly life ends. That we have treasured loved ones that look down upon us and await our arrival. And that through no merit of our own, simply our faith in the crucified and risen Jesus, our sins have been washed away, that we can confidently, know that we have heaven awaiting us. You know, I think sometimes that people let themselves get too caught up in what they see as a complex truth. But Christ risen is very simple. And understanding that, and understanding, of course, that as part of that Easter Triduum, which we continue to celebrate throughout the Easter season, we know that all of the wounds inflicted upon the Incarnate One, the incredibly savage death that he endured and that was rewarded by God with resurrection, ought to reassure us that one man can take away the sin of the world. One of my favorite, although very hard to watch, Jesus movies was The Passion of the Christ. Very savage, and yet as the devil was tempting Jesus. He says to him, no one man can take away the sins of all the world. Stop your nonsense, huh? But the sinless God made man, enduring the savagery that he did, yes, all of our sins can be washed away with that. And so in this Easter season, the season that we've gone through so many times together, it's a good refresher. Because sometimes we can get ourselves, even as we seem to be making some progress in our faith journey, we can be sleepwalking. And yeah, what is that again? And do I really believe that? But that's why we celebrate Easter, not just for a day, but for a season. And if you look at the readings that we have today, they follow in fairly swift chronology that resurrection of Jesus and what it meant to the apostles who followed him. The gospel starts out, and it's a familiar line for us if we think about it. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. See, right away, we know that we're talking about the day itself of Easter, the day of the resurrection, because that recounting that they are giving to the apostles is that walk to Emmaus. When Jesus joins them in the walk, but they don't recognize him right away, and they talk, and Jesus opens their eyes, it says, to all of the truths that Hebrew Scripture had given. The law and the prophets and how he fulfilled that. Until finally, in the breaking of the bread, they recognize it's Jesus and he disappears from their sight. And you remember in that 7 miles distant between Jerusalem and Emmaus, even though they had reached the end of their day and I'm sure were bone weary, there was no telephone, there was no electronic device. The only way the apostles were going to know about this is if they went back to Jerusalem, and back they came. And just as they are sharing the recounting of their story, Jesus appears among them. This is the first time that he's seen by them. And it's on the day again of the rising and the fact that the tomb was empty that morning. And he offers his standard greeting, shalom, peace be with you. It says, but they were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And I'm not surprised at it, and I don't look down upon the apostles because they were surprised or terrified. I'm sure that their first thought hadn't been, so is this going to be when he rises? Because they still hadn't sorted it out by a long shot. But he says, why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And he showed him his hands and his feet. And it says, while they were still incredulous for joy, and I bet they were just incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, have you anything here to eat? And it's almost as if beyond seeing the nail-marked hands and the pierced side, if we would see him eat something, see his digestive system go to work, you say, that's a human body right there. That's Jesus. And they give him the piece of fish, and he takes it and eats it in front of them. And then he goes through that same litany of things that he talked about with the disciples on the way to Emmaus. He explains how everything written about him in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms would have to be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's all that Jesus asked from them. They didn't have to beat their breasts and say that they failed him, that they came short of how they should have served him. No, just repent. Let your sins be forgiven. Be washed in the blood. And then we get, as we go back, I got to switch over here. One of the reasons that I never liked separate gospel books, you got to go back to get the other readings here. Hold on a second. We go back to Acts of the Apostles. And Peter, he gets in a little bit of a dig. He chastises them. You know, he says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses, and confident and courageous witnesses they were. Now, he knew better than to come down too heavy on him. He himself had denied Jesus three times. But he wanted to remind everyone of the rejection that Jesus had to endure in this. But his conclusion, the same that Jesus had spoken to them, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. Now, this all happened likely on Pentecost Day or within a day or two afterwards. So a couple of months after Jesus appears in the resurrection form. And then finally, still very, very soon after all of this, very early, in the first letter of St. John. His is the last gospel written, but one of the very first letters. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin, but if anyone does sin, and don't we all, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. Whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. We can trust those words. We can trust the words of the Gospels and of Acts of the Apostles. The church assembles the readings together so beautifully throughout the Easter season. We're all a step closer to the other side than we were when we woke up this morning. But we need not fear that. We can feel the most peaceful confidence that we are an Easter people, we are a resurrection people, and we have the trusted word of God that all's well that ends well. Just want to give a quick conclusion. I've been pretty blessed in my life with good health. I'll admit I had a little bit of a scare this past month. It happens to a lot of us, and in my case, it was because I was between doctors that mine had retired and I hadn't gotten another one, and I was just feeling so worn out, just absolutely exhausted. I had to stop and pant from going from my driveway to my kitchen and didn't even think until I'd rested some before climbing the stairs, and I thought, this isn't right. And praise God, I just got off to urgent care, had the battery of tests run there at Michigan Heart. And the conclusion was pretty clear. I needed a pacemaker. I didn't realize that I was able to get so much blood to my heart. I didn't know I was entitled to that much. But I can tell you, I have felt so invigorated since then that it already has me thinking about, well, I could do more of this and more of that. And my goodness, the Holy Father's in his 80s, and look what he's doing. So I think we all want to be open to the changes that can come in our life. But I'll tell you one thing that hasn't changed. It was true before I got my pacemaker, and it was true after, and it'll be true hopefully till I draw my last breath. I'm confident in the risen Jesus, and I'm confident in what that means to me and to you.